This is the EWN Radio Network.
Welcome to Spotlight on eWomen, the place for everything eWomen Network. Entrepreneur, enterprising, enlightening, and exciting. Please welcome your eWomen host, Phyllis Smith.
Hello and welcome to Spotlight on eWomen Network, and I am Phyllis Smith, and I'm so excited to introduce you to my next member spotlight. Her name is Tracy Bogan, and once again, she is like the other spotlights featured guests I've had on member spotlight. She has so much to offer, a really world of incredible experiences and inspiration and motivation and just an amazing story to tell. And so just a little nugget is Tracy, she has literally traveled the globe. We're talking 75,000 miles of backpacking, 6 continents, 54 countries. She claims to be the world's first dreampreneur, and actually she probably is, because whoever came up with that word, except her. And so Tracy Bogan, she's made a career of putting herself front and center to show others how to break through their fears and ignite the courage to achieve their boldest goal or most daring dream through her books, retreats, coaching programs. She's been featured on Fox, ABC, NBC, CBS, as well as many radio shows, and is an international best-selling author of 4 books. So, Tracy, welcome, and needless to say, you've done a few things in your life.
Couple.
So here you are today, a world traveler, but the truth is that it didn't start that way. You weren't sort of born traveling. So before we go into and learn all about your incredible experiences around the globe, and learning about your own method for setting and achieving goals, I'm really excited to learn about those. We'll talk about that in our second segment. But in this first segment, I really want to share more of from going back, because where you are today is not where you were as a child when you were growing up, and you had experienced some trauma as a child. And so I've found often when I talk to people who've done amazing things in their lives, that they often have started out in a place of where they've had to overcome a serious trauma. So I want to really start there so we get to know you and really to understand from whence you came. So tell us, if you would, about what you experienced during your childhood, and then we'll talk about how things that you've done as a result that has really just changed the world in a lot of ways. So if you would.
Thanks for having me on, Phyllis. I'm from Racine, Wisconsin, a very small town, less than 100,000 smaller when I was smaller. And my background is being sexually abused as a child, and that experience has changed the course and the trajectory of my life as I had dealt with that in the rush hour of my becoming in adulthood. So from high school, I went straight to the factory making refrigerator handles, and because I didn't know that I could do anything different or anything more. I didn't know that I had a light. I didn't know that I had a voice. I didn't know that I had a purpose, and I didn't know that I had power. I just went and did what my whole family lineage had done, and were blue collar workers. So it was after a back injury that I went to physical therapy and met my best friend, Amy, who was the therapist. And she was the first person that I had ever met who was doing something bigger, had visions outside of herself, visions for doing great things in the world. And she was really, by osmosis of hanging around with her, the first person to really give me permission to dream. And it started one day over cocktails at our favorite watering hole. And it's snowing outside. We're in front of the picture window having cocktails. And we looked out the window and says, it's yucky, cold, wintry out there. Wouldn't it be nice if? And she said, we could move to Australia. And I said, Hawaii. And she said, Florida Keys. And I said, Costa Rica. Well, by the end of the night, we're moving to Hawaii. And it was a great dream and a great way to get through the evening. And the next day when we were talking, I said, wow, that was a lot of fun last night. You know, too bad we really couldn't move to Hawaii. And she said, why can't we? Why can't we? And I said, I don't know. And she said, seriously, would you really like to do that? And I said, well, yes, in a perfect world. And I was caught into the I don't know hows. And I learned really quickly that when you keep your eye on the why, the what doesn't matter and the how always shows up. And so we made a plan, and 30 days later, we were living in Hawaii. Mm. And that was the first real experience. And she only stayed for about 5 or 6 months. She got tired of island life and living kind of like we're on vacation. And she moved back to the mainland, back to Wisconsin, and I stayed for 10 fruitful years. And it was the most fun, the best decade of my life still. And I learned a lot and did a lot of healing in terms of coming to terms with my sexual abuse. And would you like me to keep going?
I do. I have a question I want to lead, discuss the sexual abuse. Is that when you had this huge impact in the state of Wisconsin? When did that come, after Hawaii or before?
So it in Hawaii, after she left and after I'm in the quietness of nobody around me, none of my familiar surroundings, kind of alone because we didn't know anybody when we moved there. And we were always off travel, you know, island hopping and traveling and exploring the island. So I hadn't made a whole lot of friends. But I had this gnawing feelings that it just kept coming up, that it's time to take a look at this. We had been hiding it under the rug for most of my life. And that it's time to address the elephant in the room and talk about this. So I had went to talk to somebody, a professional, and work through why some things aren't working in my life and so forth. And going through that experience, I just woke up one day with a knowingness that today's the day to do something about it. So I had gone back to Wisconsin to visit family and friends. And while I was there, there was a case where a judge, the same judge, gave someone who stole some boxer puppy dogs prison time. And someone who abused a child got a slap on the hand. And I could never understand the logic of that. And that just stewed and brewed some things in me. So about the unfairness and the unjustness of certain things. And so I had made a call to the state legislator's office, Senator George P. Tack, and I had asked questions. How does one get involved in making a change on a legislative level? And he said, well, if you write a letter, we'll put it in our file when enough letters are addressed or compiled, will address the issue. And I said, so you mean like I should get signatures? And he said, are you talking like a petition? I said, I don't know. Are you talking a petition? He said, You can do a petition. So I went to a local art fair, got 10,000 signatures, went into his office, made an appointment, approached him with it. He was impressed. I did that in just a couple of days. And the next thing you know, we're writing legislation with Senator PTAC. It got dubbed the Bogan Bill. And then we got some other legislators involved and strategically created a second bill, which was a sister bill, that were two kind of different things. So if one went and the other didn't, we were still making progress, movement forward. That took about 2 years. The sister bill did get passed. It did become a law. And I felt very proud of it wasn't just me that did it. It was a compilation of the people in the community, because we've got some media footage and so forth. So that was a turning point Even though the criminal statute of limitations for sex crimes on children did get increased, it didn't benefit me personally. There was the grandfather clause in there. So it was anybody after me.
Right.
But that was enough for me to satisfy me that I have done something and allowed my voice to be heard. And so that's the little footprint that I left in Wisconsin toward doing something better and positive.
A little footprint. I would say that I imagine it was healing for you to finally not feel like a victim and to take charge. And then when you're also impacting and sort of saving others, that had to have been extremely profound for you. So here you have two big goals. You moved to Hawaii. You changed you did an act of Congress, right? In a state, huge. Are these the kinds of things that piled up for you that kind of put you on this path to travel the world or to accomplish your goals and become sort of the, as you say, the dreampreneur to set a goal and achieve that goal and help others do that as well?
That was probably the first step. Being in Hawaii, island hopping, really exploring that island life and feeling like I was living the dream, you know, because I'm a girl from Racine, Wisconsin, making refrigerator handles. And for me, living the dream was moving to Hawaii. Living the dream was somebody looking at me and saying, hey, you have a gift, you have a light, you have a voice. Do something with it. Move forward. You're more than what you're doing in the factory. You have something more to contribute. And that encouraged me to go to school and enter into the medical field, to which I had a beautiful 18-year career. You know, initially, I got in the medical field to serve, to give. By nature, I'm a nurturer and a people lover of connections with people. And that's why I got in. And being in Hawaii for 10 years, it was so healing in so many ways. But my last couple of years there, I began working for a renowned plastic surgeon, and I got exposed to hanging around some high profile people and some movie stars and some celebrities and some, my life just jumped off track. And I went from serving to being overserved. I began going out 8 days a week and keeping up with the Joneses and living a lifestyle truly of not who I know that I am. And I woke up one day, and I should say I went out one day, and I came home and I wasn't feeling well. I was in the bathroom getting sick from just consuming too much alcohol. And I walked over to the mirror to splash cold water on my face, and I didn't like what I saw. I was sheet white. I had puke in my hair. My eyes were glassed over. I looked into the mirror and I said, I am more than this. I am more than this. What do I want? What do I really, 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 really want for my life? If I could have, do, and be anything, what would it be? And I had this vision in the mirror. I was a young girl playing with wild monkeys in the jungle. I can tell you everything in the vision I was wearing. And I knew my dream was to always go see the world. And I got rejected from the Peace Corps because I didn't have the proper education. And I couldn't pass the ASVAB test twice for the Air Force. So the only way to go see the world was for me to go out and find a way to see the world. I went to bed that night and I passed out. And I woke up the next morning with the knowingness that today is the day I'm changing my life. Today is the day I'm taking back my power. Today is the day I'm letting God in. And today is the day I am leaving to follow my dream. It's dream day. I'm done. I just knew that I wasn't going to settle for anything one moment longer, including living a life and a lifestyle untrue to who I know that I am. I called every friend in Hawaii and I said, come to my home and take anything in my house for free. I'm talking, Phyllis, everything in a kitchen, everything in a living room, in three bedrooms, in closets, in ceiling fans, books, CDs, clothing, sheets, you name it, I gave it away. Wow. And I bought a backpack and a map and circled everywhere in the world and in America that I ever dreamed to go. And on the 76th hour of making that new choice for myself, I got on an airplane into the unknown. My first stop was back home to Racine, Wisconsin, to tell my family of this crazy dream that I had. And somewhere along the line, my best friend Amy joined me on the adventure. She said, I'm coming with you. We spent a year crisscrossing America, seeing everything I ever dreamed to see and doing odd jobs along the way. So let me say something to you. I didn't have the money to go when I left. I did not have the money to go, but I had the strong enough why. And as I said earlier, when you keep your eye on the why, the what doesn't matter and the how always shows up.
I'll tell you what, we got to take a short break. And when we come back, we're going to finish this story because it doesn't end. And then we're going to hear from you about what you do now to help achieve your goals that you set for yourself. And it involves marbles and a can of dreams. So stay tuned.
Have you ever asked yourself this question? Why is it so hard to make a buck? I know I have. Hi, I'm Sandra Yancey, founder and CEO of eWomen Network. What I have discovered after going from the brink of bankruptcy to running a multi-million dollar award-winning business is this. You can't build a million-dollar dream hanging around minimum wage mindsets. My mission is 1 million women entrepreneurs generating $1 million in annual revenue. So here's what I've done. I've created the mother of all entrepreneur success programs that you can access online on your time. It's called Monetize Me Now. It's a 7-module online course that is 100% my success formula, covering mindset, mission, management, motivation, marketing, and measure. Come on, take my hand and I'll show you the way to learn to earn flowing revenue for your business. Visit monetizemenow.com for details.
Welcome back to Spotlight on eWomen. Here's your host, Phyllis Smith.
Welcome back to Spotlight on eWomen Network. I'm Phyllis Smith speaking with Tracy Bogan. And what a story. She just finished telling us about how she came to decide to travel the world. She woke up one day and didn't even have the money. Okay. She didn't have the money and found a way to travel the world with her best friend for a year because it was a dream. So Tracy, finish telling us now, if you would, how you made it, what did you do to collect the money and fulfill this dream of yours?
I dog walked, I house sat, I collected aluminum cans, I ate peanut butter and jelly sandwiches 365 days in a row because eating out was off the table, out of the question, not an option, not in the budget. I bartered with butchers for meat. None of these things were fast, none of these things were fun, and none of these things were easy, but this is the price that I was willing to pay to afford my dream. You see, Phyllis, most people aren't willing to pay a price. They're not willing to pay their dues. They're not willing to put in the sweat equity to roll up their sleeves and do the work required to achieve the result. We live in a microwave society. We desire everything bigger, better, faster, more, and now, without putting in the sweat equity to actually earn it. I put in the sweat equity. And I just ask everyone, what are you willing to do, to let go of, to forego, to learn, just for a short period of time? What are you willing to focus on? We waste our life in 15-minute increments on Facebook every day. Or on TV, or mindless things. You can get a whole college education from your commute to work every day. You can learn a foreign language. You can start a business in the time that you waste in a day. It's just about being committed, being mindful, and having the vision, and reverse engineering the steps of the vision into daily actions. Eventually, with time and intention, I promise that you'll get there.
I mentioned before we went into the break, I talked about how you yourself achieves your goals, and you have this wonderful thing that you do that involves marbles and a can of dreams. Before we talk about that, I do want you to decipher and tell us the difference between being a dreamer and being a dreampreneur, which is what you are and the first ever.
Well, Phyllis, I spent most of my life being a dreamer. And a dreamer are those who have a disease called someday-itis. They have lofty goals, big dreams, and exciting aspirations that they intend to pursue someday. But for most, like in the dictionary, death day will always come before your someday, always. And one day I just discovered that the dreamers never do, they only dream. And a dreampreneur, on the other hand, is one who has the unrelenting will to achieve their boldest goal or most daring dream that aligns with their soul's purpose and brings them a life of joy and prosperity. So I always ask, where are you? Which one are you? And what will it take for you to finally move the needle from dreamer to dreampreneur? What will be the needle mover? What has to happen? What will it take for you, for those who are the dreamers, to move the needle from dreamer to dreampreneur? Those who dream versus those who do and achieve.
And you have a 10 key formula for this goal mastery. We can't go into every single one of them. And the Marble and Dream of Canada Dream story is coming. But before we get there, if you could just list those 10 and then choose one that we could tackle today. So people who are listening or watching or even reading on the blog can take action on today. What would be those 10?
I'm just going to share one of the 10. And one of them is the Believe Key. And the Believe Key is about mastering your thinking and your behavior. You see, it is done unto you as you believe. And you know with unshakable certainty that you will live your desire, and you know it naturally without thinking about it. That's called unconscious competence. That's like tying your shoe or brushing your teeth. You must become the person, you must be the person who is worthy of achieving your goal or dream, and you must be the person who's deserving of it. So one thing that you can do to participate in the Believe Key is we all have stinking thinking going on. We all have toxic thoughts and toxic beliefs. So one of them might be, a toxic belief would be, exercise is hard and boring and I hate doing it. You can create an antidote for that and say something like, I feel so great after I exercise. I know that I will live longer and healthier and I will be the perfect example for my family to follow. So we have many more years together to create those beautiful memories together. Here's one more. Hear this one all the time. Toxic belief. I can't afford it. Mm. Well, I'm here to tell you, you can. You're choosing not to. You see, we will always find the time and the money for things that matter most to us in our life. I guarantee you, if your child had cancer and the cure was $500,000, you would find that very quickly to save your child. We always find the time and the money for things that are most important. The anecdote for that is, I know I really desire this and I'm working out a way to afford it because I have the resources and the resourcefulness to choose and create whatever I desire. So an exercise that you can easily do is to list out some of your toxic beliefs or your stinking thinking, mm-hmm. and write the antidotes to cancel them out. Because what you focus on through the course of the day is what will show up for you. What you focus on is what will show up for you. What you think about, you absolutely do bring about.
Yes, no question. So, and if you want the other 9, you can reach out to Tracy at tracybogan.com, correct?
And that's Tracy with an I.
Tracy with an I, bogan.com. And so now I'd love to hear, we all would love to hear your story about the marbles. Tell us what you do personally to make sure that you achieve every goal that you set out to do.
So on my desk, and if I'm traveling in a hotel, my marbles here, and I would show them to you. Every March 5th on my birthday, I take my jar of marbles down and I open them up and I pick one. And I ponder that marble for many, 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 many minutes. And I ponder the life inside of the life of the last year. the people I've touched, the people who have touched me, the relationships I've created, the relationships who have released themselves for me, who have transitioned or passed away, or we just outgrew each other, the memories, the contacts, the connections, the humor, the laughter, all the fun things, and all the things that I wish would have turned out differently. And then I walk over to the garbage can and I drop the marble into the waste bucket, because that year is gone forever and I can never get it back. And neither can any of you. You see, the CDC, the Center of Disease Control, says that the average lifespan of an American is 78 years old. And if we live to the healthy, happy, ripe old age of 80, that's assuming that we do. You see, tomorrow is promised to no one. But we'll take the age of 80, subtract your current age from 80. Anything beyond 80 are bonus years for yourself. Mm. Circle your number and put that many marbles in a jar. And when you look at life from that perspective on how many marbles, I have 34 marbles left, Phyllis. That's 34 more Christmases, 34 more birthdays to celebrate, or anniversaries or special occasions, 34 more years to leave my footprint on this world, to leave my legacy, to shine my light, to have my voice be heard, to stand in my power and be the lighthouse for others to aspire to. 34 is not very many when you look at it from the perspective of marbles. So I invite each one of you to do that exercise. Take the age of 80, a little more than the average lifespan of an American, subtract your age and circle your number. Some of you may find that you have more years behind you than you have left ahead of you. And for those of you who have more ahead of you, I just ask you to be mindful. What are you going to do? And what will you spend your time, your attention, and your purpose on in the time that you have left?
Well, I just figured out and crunched a few numbers there, and I've got 24, girl. And 24 doesn't feel like a whole lot of years left, because I feel like I was 24 about a minute ago. So those 24 years, you have just completely shifted my mind. And boy, what an image. And I think that's really wonderful. And then you have your can of dreams, right? That you fill that can up. Tell us about that.
So I've created a dreams can. It's actually a product that I'm having manufactured right now. Some people call it a bucket list. For me, it's a dreams can, because dreams really can come true. And it all comes down to having a vision and reverse engineering the steps to get there. I teach that in my coaching programs and at my retreats. It's a can. And inside of that can, I have 700 little note cards of everything that I will see, be, do, have, share, and experience in my time here, in my 34 marbles that I have left. And every month, I randomly draw my hand in, put my hand in, and I draw out a card. And whatever my energy drew to do, whether it's learn Tai Chi or learn calligraphy or learn how to paint or go climb Machu Picchu, whatever it is, I set a do it date. If I don't have the money in my bank account to go, I set up the bank account. So let's say climbing Machu Picchu is $5,000 and I'm going to go in a year. I'll take $5,000, divide it by 12. I know what I have to save in that account every month for the next year to be able to afford that dream. And I'll go do it. And what makes me different than almost any other speaker out there in the world is my story is fluid, because I'll draw this live on camera. And you can follow the adventure on social media and actually meet the people whose lives touch my lives, the homestays that I do, the places that I go, the thing that I do. And just by osmosis of watching someone else's experience, you see, we all have something to learn. We all have something to give. We all have something to share. And generally, by watching someone else's dream in motion, can oftentimes inspire and empower you to get busy thinking and creating on what your vision is for yourself.
You know, Tracy, what I also love about what you're saying is that there is a strategy. I mean, it's not just pull the dream out of a hat and hope it happens. you actually have to crunch the numbers and you've got to make it happen. You've got to take action. If you need money, you got to find a way to make the money. And this is how much you need. Now make it happen. So it's more than just motivation and a desire. You have to plan it. And I think that that's also really practical. And this is what I love about what you're saying. There's a practicality in the dream and achieving the goals.
Yes, it's a 10-step process. And the biggest key that people miss is they don't have an action plan. And even bigger than that, they don't have accountability. They're not accountable for themselves. It's proven over and over. We prove it every January 1st with our New Year's resolutions. I mean, how many people have already blown theirs or blown through theirs and put theirs on the list for next year for the fifth year in a row? We're not accountable. We have to have accountability and putting our money where our mouth is. You know, one of the things that I do is I still work with a coach and I have an accountability partner. And I say, here's $100 if I'm not at the gym on Tuesday. That's putting your money where your mouth is and having a penalty as well as a reward for your actions.
I love it. Tracy, we've run out of time. I would love to just sit with you over a glass of wine and learn and just follow you, like you say, on social media and follow you in your adventures. But more importantly, you make me want to take action. And we all have dreams, but we got to stop being dreamers and start being dreampreneurs. So thank you so much. And you reach out to Tracy at Tracy, that's T-R-A-C-I Bogan, B-O-G-A-N.com. She's got coaching programs. She's got a retreat. She's got all books. She's got all kinds of stuff and also a way to follow her so you can follow her on her dream, achieve her goals, and then get inspired to achieve your own. Thank you so much, Tracy. This has been
Namaste.
Great.
Thank you, Phyllis.
Namaste to you.
Time's up for now. If you want more enlightening conversations that could change your life, visit EWNRadioNetwork.com.
This is the EWN Radio Network.